Hello, my name is Pastor Mark Bird of Calvary Chapel Gwinnett. I just want to take a few minutes and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the word gospel means good news. I want to read a passage from the third chapter of John's gospel, three verses that talk about the new birth. And then, of course, the gospel is what that's all about. It says in John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus made it very clear in his statement, unless a man is born again, he'll never see the kingdom of God, that this new birth is essential for anybody to get to heaven. So the question is, what does that mean? Well, let me say first of all that we know that the Bible says that the life that we have is very brief. It describes it as a vapor that comes and goes. So if we live 70 or 100 years, we're just gone in no time compared to eternity. And so life is precious. Life is very fragile. Certainly the things that have happened in our country, or maybe you've been in a situation where all of a sudden a life is gone, that everything was normal, and the next moment it changed. So we always need to be aware that things can happen very rapidly, out of our control, and our life on this earth, this planet, can be ended. And that's why it's very important that we take care of the spiritual part of our lives a lot more important than our physical part, because the spiritual side of things makes a difference not only in this life, but in the next life. If we don't handle that, if we don't take care of that, or let me say it like this, if we're not born again, we'll never see the kingdom of God. So being ready to die at whatever time that is very important. And also I want to point out that being ready to be with the Lord or ready to die is so important, because what that does to any individual, it brings them a sense of security and peace. In other words, I'm prepared. I've taken care of business. I'm ready to be with the Lord whatever happens, whether I live 100 years or 5 years or 5 seconds. That's so important for my peace of mind and my experiencing joy and the realization that the most important thing in my life is being taken care of. So that's why we're sharing this message with you and encouraging you to consider these things. Maybe you have before, maybe you never have in the past. So I would encourage you to think about it. I want to mention too that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that all have sinned. So when we talk about death, we're not talking about the physical death, even though physical death itself is a result of sin. When sin entered creation, people began to die. Things began to die. Before that, there was no death. So death itself is a result of sin. And all of us are one day going to die. These bodies will one day wear out. But more than that, death itself in the Bible is a spiritual separation or an eternal separation from God. We are born already separated from God. If we die with our sins still in our lives, we'll be eternally separated from God in a place that Jesus said and described as hell. Hell itself is real. It's a place of torment. Jesus taught about hell more than any person in the Bible. And so we need to be prepared for that. We need to realize what that is. And so death is a problem. Death is sin is a problem. And sin is the transgression of the law. So when you sin or I sin, that's what ultimately leads to death, separation from God for eternity. The Bible says that sin is the transgression or the breaking of God's law. In other words, God has given us 10 commandments. God's been very clear about what those laws are, what those commandments are, and he's told us, thou shall not. And if you and I break one commandment one time, we're guilty of death. We deserve to be separated from God for eternity. And let me also point out a very important point in the Bible, that you are unable, I am unable to remove even one of my sins by anything that I can do. So once you've sinned, or once I've sinned, I'm totally helpless in this. God does something miraculous in my life. And that's what the good news or the gospel is all about. So the bottom line is, when you sin or I sin, we're guilty before God and we can't wash one of our sins away. Some people have the false idea that if their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, they're going to go to heaven. The Bible never teaches that. The Bible condemns our own works and calls them filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Because the standard by which God judges you and I is not myself compared to other people, but God is the standard. And the Ten Commandments reveal God's holiness. So let's look at some of the commandments and see, have you sinned? Or I'll prove to you that you've sinned. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. So if at any point in time in your life you've broken that commandment, you've lied. When we say lying, I mean by exaggerating, a white lie, a fib, avoiding the truth, or twisting things so it comes out different than the reality is. That's called lying. That's deceiving. And the Bible says in Revelation that liars, all liars, will have their part in the lake of fire. So the question is, have you ever lied? The Bible says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, which simply means that as we're growing up, remember as a teenager, when we did not obey or I did not obey, we're dishonoring our parents. And so if you've ever dishonored your mom or your dad, you've broken that commandment and you deserve to be judged. Jesus said regarding adultery, you have heard it said by those of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, that if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So if you've looked on anybody to lust after them, you have sinned before a holy God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. One of the great commandments and one of the things that really nail all of us is the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. And that simply means that if you put anything, anyone before God at any point in your life. I'm not talking about living this way all your life. I'm talking about for 1 week, 1 day, if you put something ahead of God, you're guilty of having other gods. If you look to anybody or anything to provide security or joy or peace that only God can, that's wrong. So you shall have no other gods before him. The fact of the matter is, the main God that we worship prior to the one true God is ourselves. We make our own decisions. We make our own choices. We want to do what we want to do. Well, that's nothing more than just putting me on the throne of my life and putting someone else ahead of God. So all of us have done that. My point is that we've all sinned. You've sinned, I have sinned. And Jesus said, every idle word that men speak, they'll give an account on the day of judgment. Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So it's very important to realize that you've sinned before a holy God. And that's what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how far you jump trying to reach the other side of the Grand Canyon, you're going to fall. And there are some people that jump further and get a head start, but they're not going to make it to the other side. In the same way, some people may not sin as much as others, but they've all sinned. And they're all condemned because of their own personal sin. And we need to realize that sin is the transgression of the law. And that you and I, we have to come to this realization that you cannot remove even the smallest sin. Remember that. The Bible is very clear about that. You sinned against God. God is the one that you've sinned against. And only God can forgive sins. So the idea that somehow I can deal with this sin in my life by doing something is false. It's a false assumption that so many people somehow have come to that conclusion. Because we don't want to feel like we're helpless, but we are. We are unable to save ourselves. We are unable to deal with our own sin. So the question comes, this leads us to this point, how did God himself deal with sin? In other words, if I'm a sinner, and I've sinned before God not once or twice, but hundreds or thousands of times, and I've deserved to go to hell. How then is there any hope? What is the good news regarding sin? Well, the fact of the matter is that Jesus himself came and dealt with my sin on the cross. The Bible says when Jesus hung on the cross, he became sin for us, who knew no sin. He never sinned. And yet he died in our place. We call that a substitutionary death. In other words, we've broken God's law. Someone's got to pay for this. The idea that somehow God's going to overlook that is false. So when you break the commandments, when you sin before a holy God, there's got to be punishment, because not only is the God a God of love, but he's also a holy God. It's like a judge. A judge has got to deal and bring justice to those that break the law. If you are brought into the court and you are guilty of murder, the judge can't say, oh, don't worry about that. As a judge, he's bound by who he is to bring justice. In the same way, God himself must punish sin. So there's actually two ways that sin's punished. One is, if a person doesn't accept Christ, they're going to be punished because of what they did, their own sins. God will put them in hell, the lake of fire for eternity, the Bible says. Or Jesus took our place. He died in our stead, or as our substitute. He suffered the wrath of God for me on the cross. That's what it means when it says he became sin for us. That's why Jesus died. He took my place. This is so important. This is a foundational truth in the Bible. That's why the Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we're saved. Nobody else took your place except Jesus. Nobody can take your place except Jesus. And he's already done that when he went to the cross 2,000 years ago and he became sin. My sin was put on Jesus when he hung on the cross and he died. And so what did he say on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why would God the Father forsake Jesus? Because the payment for sin is death, and death in the Bible is the separation from God. Now, an unbeliever that doesn't accept Christ will be separated for eternity because their sin is going to be judged and they'll be thrown in the lake of fire for eternity. But there is a means, there is a way by which you and I escape this personal judgment by putting our faith and our trust in Jesus. There's two things we have to do. Number one, repent. We have to turn away. We can't keep living the way we've always lived and say, oh, I'm going to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and then just nothing ever changes. We've got to repent. And there's a lot of parts to that idea. First of all, we have to acknowledge that we're sinners. If you sit there and just deny that you're a sinner and don't deserve to go to hell, you're denying the truth of the Bible. You're calling God a liar. Yet God has declared all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible clearly says. So that ultimately means that I have sinned, I deserve to go to hell. But I've got to repent of those sins. I've got to acknowledge that. I can't keep saying other things and hope to get to heaven. And number two is I've got to also realize that this life of me being on my own throne, being my own God, doing what I want, has got to change. I've got to come to Christ and be a follower of Jesus. And that requires that I turn from a certain direction, my own direction, and begin to follow him. And that's what faith really is. If I really believe in Jesus, as the Bible teaches me in the New Testament, I will follow him. The Bible says not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So true faith results in you or I becoming followers of Jesus, not just saying I believe in him. The devil does that. The devil acknowledges that Jesus is real. He doesn't deny that. So faith is not just a statement that you make. It is the putting my life in his hands. I repent of my sins and I put my faith, my life, my soul, my eternity, my hope in Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for me. I believe that while he hung on the cross, all my sins were put on him. And he's my substitute. It's a very personal thing. It's not a general thing. It's a personal thing. Jesus died for me. And my faith is a personal faith that I have in a personal individual, and his name is Jesus Christ. The good news is you don't have to die and go to hell. The good news is you don't have to live in fear of death and judgment. The good news is that you can get ready right now to meet God. And that's the whole purpose of the gospel, is prepare us for eternity. Because you and I are going to spend an eternity someplace, whether in heaven or in hell, depending on what we do with Jesus. So faith is a commitment I make. I come to Christ and I believe in the Lord. I grew up in church. I grew up going to church every Sunday. And intellectually, I always believed in Jesus. I never doubted that he was real. But did I follow him? No, I wasn't following him at all. I would read my Bible two or three times a week. But I was out partying and living my life the way I wanted to live. I had my certain philosophies or rules or my friends that I wanted to have. There was no way that I was following Jesus. But at the age of 19, as a sophomore in college, I got on my knees in my dorm room and I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. I asked him to have mercy on me and please forgive me. And when I did that, my life changed. My life radically changed because the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and everything becomes new. Why does that happen? It happens because when a person truly believes, this whole idea of being saved is not an intellectual thing, it is a spiritual thing. It is me embracing Christ. And when I do that, the Holy Spirit comes inside of me. Or I would say it like this, conversion or the new birth or being born again is a miracle that God does to an individual. He transforms that person and makes them completely different from the inside. We're new creations, the Bible says. And so when you believe in Jesus, you are transformed. That's why if you're a real believer, it's impossible for you to keep living the way you've always lived if your heart's truly been transformed. How can you be a follower of Jesus and a disciple of Jesus and have him as your Lord and yet keep living as if you're doing your own thing your own way? That's why living in the Bible Belt and seeing all these people out there saying they're Christians and not really following him, not really living for him, it's all a fake. It's all a lie. So maybe you've done that. Maybe when you were a kid, you said some prayer in front of an altar and you got water baptized, but nothing really changed, maybe for a week or two. But we're not talking about being transformed or changed for a couple of days or a week or a month or a year. We're talking about an individual being transformed the rest of their life. Because when God works in someone's life, he transforms them forever. Some people say, I've been talked to people before, and they say, well, I tried Jesus. And I think, you didn't try Jesus. You may have tried religion. You may have joined a church. And when they say they tried that and it didn't work, what they mean is they're doing the same thing they've always done. And I would submit to you that nothing in the New Testament teaches us that when Jesus changes a life, that life goes back to normal. They're anything but, quote, normal, because God has transformed their life. And that's what it means. And so that's the idea of what Jesus did for you and I. That's what you have to repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus. You say, how do I do that? Well, go ask him. You've got to come. The Bible says he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, which simply means that the way for you and I to become believers and to be forgiven of our sins is to come to him. And that doesn't mean actually walking down the street. You can come to him right where you are. In just a minute, I'm going to say a prayer. And I'm going to encourage you in that prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is me coming to God and speaking to him personally. Because I can't forgive your sins, but Jesus can. So you've got to approach the one who died on the cross, and you have to ask him. He doesn't do this automatically. He does it because somebody humbles themselves, comes to him and asks him and begs him, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken your commandments. Would you please forgive me? I put my faith, my trust, my life, my soul in your hands. The Bible says he that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. If you come to Christ with a broken heart, with a repentant heart, in faith, trusting him, he's not going to reject you. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to get everything straight and then come. No, you need to come just as you are, just in the condition that you are, because no matter what you do outwardly, you can wear a coat and tie, but it doesn't change your heart. You've got to come just as you are and ask him to change your heart by forgiving your sins. So I'm going to bow my head. I want you to bow your head. And you personally ask Jesus to forgive you and save you. Let's bow our heads right now. Please repeat this prayer. You can do it in your heart, but I would advise you to repeat this out loud. Dear Jesus, I accept the fact that I'm a sinner and that the wages of sin, the punishment for sin, is death. So, Lord, I deserve to go to hell based upon my sin and what I've done. But, Lord, I'm coming to you, and what I'm asking for is mercy and forgiveness. I'm coming to you because you're the only one who can forgive. You are the judge. And I ask that the judge forgive me because I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I am going to be a disciple from this day forward, a follower of Jesus. Help me to study the Bible. Help me to read the Word. Help me to understand what I'm reading. And help me to obey you when I find things in the Word that you say to me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me power to follow you all my life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you said that prayer, if you meant it with your whole heart, you're saved. There's a transformation. Let me challenge you, tell somebody, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell somebody that you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who's in heaven. When I accepted Christ, that very day, I made some phone calls. I called my parents. Next day, I had two of my friends from grammar school coming. I was in college when I accepted Christ. But these guys I knew from grammar school, I told them, I've accepted Christ. It's so important that you do that, that you're not ashamed of what you've done. Secondly, get connected to a local body of believers, a church, and make sure that church is teaching the Bible, that when you enter that church and you're sitting down and hearing something, you're opening the Bible, you're reading from it, you're listening to the Word, because it's God's Word that's so important. And make sure that you are praying, that you're spending time with the Lord, not only reading the Bible, but praying. Let me challenge you. Start in the Gospel of John in the New Testament. Read the Gospel of John. Go from there, move to Acts. And as you read, ask the Holy Spirit, who's with you, to speak to you. You know, if you have accepted Christ and you're a Christian, that's the most important decision you'll ever make. I look forward to meeting you, whether in our fellowship or one day in heaven. May God bless you.